had a podcast. We were previewing the big Kobe World Dragon Gate show. That has now come to pass. There's title changes and other such wackiness on here. I have only seen the Twin Gate tag title match off of there, and Brad, unfortunately, has not seen any of the show. So I will let Justin Allen talk about it. So, Justin, you, first of all, what were your thoughts on the show?
I thought it was great overall. My perspective is a little skewed for a lot of different reasons. First of all, I went in wanting to like it. And second, I watched it as it occurred in the United States. So that meant being – I didn't sleep that day. I stayed up till – I forget what it was, something crazy, like 4:30 or so. I was going to get some sleep and then watch it, but that didn't happen. So I just stayed up and I watched the whole thing as it went down, and I had a good time with it. I mean, I would say it's again, like a lot of these big pay-per-views are very top heavy, that the final two matches, the Twin Gate and the Dream Gate match, were awesome. Yamato and Mochizuki was fantastic. It was sort of what I expected. I think I live tweeted a lot of this. The whole thing is kind of a fog. I went back and watched some of those matches just to make sure what occurred, like, actually went down, and it wasn't just in like some very scary dream like state. I thought the whole show was fantastic. I don't think there were any there wasn't anything that I particularly disliked. I would say that the stuff with Stalker, Chikawa, and Fujiwara wasn't, I mean, it wasn't even, it was like a less interesting version of even the usual stuff Ichikawa does.
So it was too long. Yeah, it just ended as the first match, when it was like, and they did two matches, and like the first one was like a 20-second finish, and it was like, if it just ended there, it would have been perfect, but then they went back and did an 8-minute match, which was completely unnecessary.
Right. I don't think they think a lot of these things through, like what they're going to do here. And this was totally just a really long, just kind of nothing, to be quite honest.
It sounds like they do those kind of things on a lot of the house shows where, like, you know, they'll do Shima versus him or Fuji versus Ichikawa when it goes 20 seconds and they have like a 16-minute match afterwards. It's not like they decided to just do that on pay-per-view and what it's really kind of meant for those house shows.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, sometimes I think maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe some people get out of seeing something like this over and over again. I can't imagine, but, I mean, just some comedic elements I don't think translates completely. But it didn't sound like the crowd was overly loving this either.
They probably didn't know who Fujiwara was, I would imagine.
I suppose that's true, given the audience.
He won with the Fujiwara armbar. I figured he had to, right?
Yeah, we'll see. The gimmick was that he won in 20 seconds with a Fujiwara armbar, but it was like a leg version of the Fujiwara armbar. He applied it with his legs rather than his arms, and it was like, oh, he won 20 seconds, but it wasn't the Fujiwara armbar exactly. And it was like kind of a joke that he used a different hold, and then they went back and did like the 8-minute match for him to win with the actual traditional Fujiwara armbar.
Yeah. It was really like eight long minutes. You know, sometimes you'll see a match and go, wow, was that really only 8 minutes? It sounded like they packed a lot in. This was like a 3-minute match that was just 8 minutes long. It was really, and I'm a huge fan. I even like the dated stuff or the stuff that I've seen from him before. I still really like it. So that kind of tells you how uninteresting that was. But I didn't dislike the match I thought I would, which was the one after it, the one with Hub and Kong and Nozawa against the Jimmies. I liked that one just fine. I think they did enough there to keep me entertained, and Nozawa was pretty far away from most stuff. He still had to hit the, you know, Shining Wizard, but outside of that, I thought it was really good. I wasn't really feeling the Triangle Gate for whatever reason. I thought that was kind of flat. What did you feel about that?
I suppose I'll give my sort of overall thoughts. I thought the show as a whole was awesome. Definitely lived up to Kobe World expectations. To quote my father, Dave Meltzer, in yesterday's news update on one of the polls, which was like best show of the month, That Dragon Gate show is absolutely the greatest show ever to get 0.2% of the vote. A lot of people really should try and watch it because it's one of the best shows of the year. And I would agree with that. It was a really great show. Undercard-wise, I thought it was nowhere near as good an undercard as there was for the May pay-per-view. But top of the card, I would say every bit as good. The Triangle Gate, yeah, I agree. That was certainly, again, if comparing to May, the Triangle Gate in May was killer. And the Triangle Gate on this show was kind of there. It's like some funny bits in it. Some Don Fuji going to the top of the arena is always cute. And it was entertaining, but it wasn't like anything you wanted to watch immediately again or anything like that. But it was, for me, the show was all about from Yoshino KNS onwards, which is funny because I actually slept through my alarm that morning watching for that pay-per-view, and I woke up right as that match was about to start. So live, I missed everything up until Yoshino and KNS, and then I went back and watched all the stuff I missed about a day or two after, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, really, I didn't really need to rewatch any of this undercard stuff. It was all kind of, everything I saw live was really the stuff that needed to be seen. So it was all about the Yoshino match onwards, the Twin Gate and the Mochizuki match, which I think is being so, so underrated. I think that was just fantastic. That and the main event, I thought, like, yeah, it was long, but just watching that live was one of the coolest pro wrestling experiences I've had this year. Just not knowing the outcome and just seeing these guys go bonkers on each other in the last 10 minutes. It was fantastic. But yeah, really, really great Kobe World show, and up there with the best of them.
Now, Alan, on your podcast, one you had Excalibur and Rob Naylor on, Naylor said that the Twin Gate match, BB Hulk and Akira Tozawa versus Naruki Doi and Ricochet, before the G1 climax happened, was his match of the year. Would you have said that you would have considered it to be one of your favorite matches of the year, too?
Oh, yeah, definitely one of my favorite. Probably, like, I'd have to look at it, but I'd say it would have a shot at top five, maybe. Definitely wasn't best or second best, because I would have, like, the Okada-Tanahashi match and a couple others. Zack Sabre Jr., Tommy End from 16 Carat. First Goto Shibata match. I'd have a few matches kind of in or around there, maybe slightly above it, but it was definitely up in the top tier of matches, for sure. It was crazy. It was probably the best tag match. It was just balls out insanity for the majority of the match. Just really great stuff, and the whole building was just going nuts in the last few minutes.
Justin, what do you think of that match? It's been getting a lot of buzz, so I wanted to kind of highlight it here.
Yeah, I love, again, this kind of highlights why I love Tozawa and Hulk as a team. I think you get, especially outside of like the WWE and the more action-oriented promotions, the better you are as a heel when you're doing a heat segment to keep it interesting, I think the more I like you. And I always love the way Tozawa and Hulk handle getting their heat on a wrestler, because Hulk is a lot of kicks and a lot of nastiness, and Tozawa is a lot of like silly gimmicks, which just amuses me. So that means that your interest in the match, it doesn't wane ever, because a lot of times when someone's trying to get heat, you know, whether it's just like sustaining a headlock to catch their breath or just kind of to bore people into anger, then you sort of, as a viewer, I mean, you almost feel like skipping ahead if you can, and you just get that instinct. And then when you can't and it's live, it's kind of frustrating. But they're so good at that that I really feel like the whole 25 minutes or so of this match was just like entertaining the whole time. From the very beginning, from Tozawa and his terrible backflips, which was just awesome to see.
So great.
Yeah. And his, every version he does of the senton, whether it's the standing one when he hits it, the standing one when he misses and just gets angry and embarrassed, and then now when he goes to the top rope and hits that like sky high version, is just, it's always good. It's always entertaining. I like that about them. And again, it reminded me that he was on the wrong side of things. And of course, we know now, like 4 days later, he's a face again. So that sort of shows you why. But yeah, I loved it. I mean, I loved it a lot. And yeah, I would say it's definitely behind a few matches now that G1's over. mostly due to Ishii. But yeah, it's still probably in my top 10.
Yeah, it was super fun. You were talking about the Fujiwara match. There you go. Well, speaking of that, Shingo finally ended Shima's very long title reign. Almost, I think it was like a year and a half long, if not a little bit longer, becoming the Dreamgate champion for the second time. So, Brad, what are your thoughts on Shingo being the one to upset Shima for the belt?
You know, I've always been a really, really big fan of Shingo. And I had predicted that this wouldn't happen. Like, I think most people predicted that this wouldn't happen. And I think I kind of need to save my opinion of it until A, I see the stuff that happens post-World, and B, you know, we see where the rest of the roster that now doesn't have a faction shakes out. Like, also, I how long Shingo keeps the belt, because he's got this defense against Yamato coming up, and I think the general consensus was that Yamato would beat Shima for the title later in the year. I don't know, the whole thing, kind of like last time, feels a bit transitional, but I don't, so I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about it yet.
How do you feel about it, Alan?
I think my opinion hasn't really changed from what we said, previewing World, about what it would be like if Shingo won. It's gonna be tough for him to kind of become the beloved figure to Shima was, and these kind of comparisons to Shima are in some ways unfair, and I'm hoping he gets a shake to kind of be his own man as the top of the company. And but at the same time, it's like, it's again, like, it was hard to comment on potential of Shingo as the ace before World. It's kind of even hard to comment now, because this Yamato defense is such a precarious situation for his title reign. It's like, it seems like he was going to be the one to beat Shingo, but now it's happening so early, you're like, well, taking the belt off Shingo this quick would be unheard of. So, I don't know. It's a strange position we're in.
Yeah, I agree. It is pretty strange. Oh, Justin, I'll let you go ahead. You seem to jump in. You know what I'm saying?
It's dangerous, is really what it is. You're going to end up, I think you're going to give him the Saito treatment, where if you take the belt off him now, he'll never be looked at as a main eventer again. I think that's the danger you run. Yeah, I don't know. I like the match. I think I like the story. I like the idea of, I don't know, just Alan and I were the only ones that watched it, but I got this sense later on in the match when, and I kind of feel like I'm spoiling elements of the match for both of you, but I think it's important.
Did you watch it live, Justin?
Explain. Yes. Yes, I did.
Cool.
As I was watching it, I kept thinking, why is Shima not going? Because they showed the first match between them before it. And because I believe in storytelling, and I believe that guys believe in storytelling, I pay attention and I like to see what they do and that kind of thing. So essentially, I noticed that the previous match, it took Shima getting like a roll-up, one of his like Skyder roll-ups or like Jorge like roll-ups to beat him. And near the end of the match, Shima wasn't doing any of these, and I kept thinking, why isn't he trying? And I realized that even from the outset, and even in the middle portion, this is what happens to champions at some point, is that they just start steamrolling people, and they hit brick walls. Like, they hit someone they can't steamroll through. And it's like how you adjust. Like, that was my favorite part of Yoshino's match with Don Fuji when he was champion, is that Yoshino realized, I can't run through this guy. Like, I've got to, like, use some tricks, and I'm going to have to beat him. I'm going to have to pin him instead of, like, beat him firmly, and that's what he did. And Shima he's not, like, you know, he doesn't catch people in cradles anymore. He's just going to keep trying to throw kicks and throw bombs, and Shingo was just too tough for him. He was just, after that amount of time, he was just too exhausted. So I don't really see him as a long-term champion, but this felt more about Shima being exhausted and losing than Shingo winning, which is probably not a good thing. But it did lead to that amazing moment at the end where they first teased Tozawa, like, turning face, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, and I guess we'll talk about that now since that happened just a bit after that. On the August 1st show in Kobe, they had Akatsuki versus versus Matt Blanky in a loser in a unit disbands match, and Akatsuki lost. And the fault from that was Yamato turned heel and joined Matt Blanky, and they jumped Tozawa out of the faction. Tozawa was the one to take the fall in the Twin Gate title match, so it makes sense. So now we have Yamato sort of now leading the charge of the Matt Blanky stable with the Akatsuki team broken up. Shenlong lost his mask, and Tozawa finding himself being a babyface. We talked sort of about how it seemed like there was going to be some unit changes coming up in Dragon Gate with all these things. And it had been a while before they had made any bigger changes. So this is one of the bigger changes they've made in a while. And Justin, I know you said that you thought Tozawa was going to... It seemed like the right thing to do to make him a babyface. What do you think of Yamato turning heel and joining Matt Blanky?
I mean, we've sort of talked about that I liked... I love Yamato as a heel. I think it's awesome. I think you get more out of Shingo being the heel and Yamato being the face just because Shingo as a face is still kind of doesn't really interest people very much. But I love that. And I think Tozawa's in the right place. I think he's just and for anyone that hasn't seen the main event of World, go back and watch it again. And in the ending segment when Shima's talking and everyone comes out, pay attention to everything Tozawa does because he's brilliant. It's so subtle but so genius that they teased him. Basically, Yamato came over and just started kicking it at Shima.
Oh, and yeah, and Tozawa kind of just puts a subtle hand up. And
Tozawa pulls him away.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, like, stern with him. He's just, like, leave him alone. Like, it's a respect thing. Leave him alone. And so he pulls him, and Yamato's talking, and he's just giving a speech about how sexy and awesome he is. And if you look at Tozawa the entire time, he should be like looking menacing or like laughing along with him like every other person Matt Blanky is. He can't know the camera's on him at this point. His face is he's looking down and he's just it looks like he's contemplating where he is and why. And he's just kind of staring solemn at the match. And so when Yamato drops the mic and everyone leaves, it's not a noticeable thing, but Tozawa's the last guy out. Like he's distracted by something. And sure enough, I thought it was going to take some time to get there, but it's like days later, and they've turned on him, and now he's got a cadre of people trying to build him back up again, even though he's still being all stubborn and not accepting help. It's just part of what makes him so genius.
I gotta stop this momentum because Alan, did you guys get this picture that Alan just sent us?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, just, I got it.
Tozawa just
The one Brad sent back is even better.
I don't think I got that one yet.
Oh, I texted it to you yesterday, Kevin. It's the one of Tanizaki on the dolphin.
So good. That is now, I believe, our new Twitter picture. Which, by the way, you can follow the show on Twitter at DG Cool Kids Table. We need more followers and more pictures or cartoons of QQ with dolphins.
Yeah, it's funny, you said Scott his sky high sent on, and then I swear to God, about 3 minutes after that, I saw that picture on Twitter. Like, I had never seen it before. I didn't know about it. I just came across that picture on Twitter.
See, I thought you whipped it up. Like, when we were talking, you're like, sky high.
I am not that talented. I am not that talented at all.
Well, this guy, I mean, you know what? I'm not going to badmouth the picture. It's funny. Okay, but Alan, since we're already talking... yeah, so Tozawa, now a babyface, Akatsuki done, maskless Shenlong, Yamato as the leader of Matt Blanky. What do you think?
I'm loving Yamato in the heel role. Oh my God, I forgot how good heel Yamato was. Like, it's just... I enjoyed him a lot. Like, he has a lot of positives as a face, and the crowd are really into him. But I think it was because it's so long since... I suppose we've seen him a little bit in the heel role in DGUSA. And but it's not frequent enough for it to really like sink home. But like, oh my God, it's like 2008 Yamato all over again. He's incredible right now in Matt Blanky. He's just perfect leader for the group. Tozawa is going to be way better off as babyface. The crowd love him. I love that him and Mochi and Fuji are kind of clicking up together at the moment as the units are kind of in reshuffle. We'll see where it all pans out. There's so many directions they could go with who's going to go with who. I like the idea of Tozawa and QQ being in the stable together. I'm not sure why, but I'd like that. And I'm digging the turns thus far.
Brad, same question.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Just your thoughts on the Akatsuki disbanding, Yamato as a heel, Tozawa as a face, all that stuff.
Oh, so I mean, it's like the world is where it should be, right? I mean, I agree with Alan. I think you mentioned you wanted to see QQ and what was it, Tozawa together. For some reason, every time there's a Brave Gate defense announced, my brain always goes back to Tozawa and QQ feuding over the Brave Gate right before Tozawa went to the United States for his year there. They have a little history together, actually. I think that would be fun. Yeah, I think this is exactly the way it should be. As much as that photo of Tozawa flying through the air in a senton is hilarious, I was actually starting to get really tired of his heel shtick. And I think that this is, and I just think he's naturally endearing. So this is great. I can't help but think that Shingo is like this. I don't want to say black hole because that is such a negative connotation, but he's kind of this mega planet whose gravitational pull to certain people is so strong that they can't get away. So like Cyber Kong, Yamato, Tozawa, basically the kamikaze guys. I just feel them all rotating around him. So I think in the end, we're going to see Tozawa end up with Shingo again, which might not be the best, because I think Tozawa does have the strength to pull a unit off on his own. But I'm curious to see how it'll shake out, especially since it doesn't seem like any of these new units or any new unit that's going to come in is going to get any young guys, because they have their own thing going on.
Which I think is pretty cool. I think the Millennials unit that they debuted via video at the Kobe World Festival has a lot of promise, because I've really liked what they've been doing in America the few times they've come in for Evolve and DGUSA.
Does anyone know who the Luchador is?
No, it's some random guy from Mexico who's the tiniest man in the world, because if you thought Ada was small, then you're going to really think UT is small. And if you think UT is small, then you're going to really think the Luchador guy is small. It's just like Tomahawk TT, and then just... it's like Doink and his like Dink Wink Pink and Stink.
I don't think Pink and Stink would have been together in a stable, but that's besides the point. Brad, I would have figured you would have known the Luchador the best out of anybody. You're the one who made yourself suffer through all those matches.
Yeah, but that guy wasn't in any of the matches. And he looks, there was no one that small. They didn't do any midget wrestling, any little person wrestling. Watching Game of Thrones makes me feel really bad about saying the word midget, even in the context of wrestling. I don't know. I have no clue. That's why I asked.
Fair enough. But I think
we know he can backflip off a turnbuckle.
I love backflipping.
Yes. that he can do. He can backflip.
Do we know when they're set to come back to Japan?
I think it's probably in the next 2 months or so.
So there was a show last night at Hakata Star Lanes, and Shima talked about them and saying how he you know, worked with them when he was in Mexico during his last little stint. And he didn't say when they'd be there, but right after talking about them, he mentioned that Dragon Gate was returning to Hakata Star Lanes on October 6th. I gotta have a feeling that they'll debut before then, but that they'll have a pretty big match when Dragon Gate comes back to Hakata. But then we won't see it, so it doesn't matter.
Of course, naturally. Speaking of weird pictures, I posted on the Cool Kids Table Twitter the other day from Infinity 298. KZ came out with like this weird square like chicken thing on his head. Does anyone know what that's about, or if that was like a one-time thing, or if he's just wearing that now?
As far as I know, there's this big movement to bring chicken respect back to Japan. And Dragon Gate, you know how they used to have Korra, they now have a pet chicken called Dora, and it's probably just KZ's homage.
The Explorer?
Just coincidence that it's called Dora. Also, I'm 100% lying, so all of this is BS. No, I have no clue. I think KZ's just a weird dude. Why did he have Godzilla on his pants? Or Reptar? Whichever it was.
Why is he not the Dreamgate champion right now? Is the real question.
He's not that good.
No, don't you say that. I'm not going to get into this. Yeah, I don't know if that it was.
He's perfect for the role he's in as the 2013 Brother Yashi.
You're right, Alan. He is perfect. But it was.
It's not what Alan said.
That's what I heard. But anyways, he wore it in this match.
His hair on August 1st was out of control. It's basically, if I can describe it, like, it's divided in half. It's two completely separate haircuts on the one man's head, and they don't flow into each other whatsoever. And one side is, like, straight, long, blonde hair with a ponytail, like, bright yellow. And then the other side is, like, this poofed-up kind of fire pink, like, Eva Marie color, poofed-up kind of spiky afro thing. And I don't know how he managed to get his hair the way he did, but it was epic.
So while we're
anything
on the top...
Anything related to Eva Marie is epic.
Yeah, I feel like there was a time, briefly, when he was in Mad Blanky, where, like, he wrestled, like, kind of shirtless and decided to be a little more straight-laced, as if making an attempt to sort of, like, fit in with more Dragon Gate-y guys. And then that went badly, or just no one paid attention. So he's now going in the opposite direction and just being, like, peacocking as much as possible. Like, literally with, like birds and things like that. I feel like that's where he's going now. He's just going to go as crazy as possible.
Well, it is time to go crazy. Always. But while we're on the topic of hair, I did field for some questions through our Twitter, and we got one from Hellion Lee, who's actually the person who does Dragon Gate Infinity reviews for PWPonderings.com. And I guess Justin and Alan will probably be able to speak on this more, since they're probably more up to date on Dragon Gate. But he wants to know, what do they think of Conda and Hulk's new haircuts?
Hulk's is kind of just like his old haircut, but a little more sinister-y. The Conda haircut is... Are we all still here?
Yep.
Oh, someone dropped off. Sounds different. The Conda haircut, anyway, is just kind of a normal, plain, regular haircut. It kind of doesn't really suit Conda in the kind of scummy kind of dude that he is. But the haircut that I find most interesting of the new haircuts is QQ's. I don't know how you describe that. It looks like he's ready to do a set in, like, a cheap Las Vegas motel or something like that.
Cool.
I've killed the show. What's going on?
Wait, Kevin and Justin, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here. I don't know if Kevin's there.
Oh, I'm here. Sorry.
All right.
Was there a question or something?
Just the static went away for a second and then came back, so we assumed that someone got kicked off.
Oh, no. Sorry about that. We're good? We're good to go? Everyone's still alive?
Yeah, we're good.
Great. Okay, so did everyone speak about the haircut stuff or just you, Alan?
I didn't, but I have nothing to contribute.
Great. Perfect.
Same.
Okay, so the other question we got was actually about Tozawa. Sorry, I'm going to try to pull up the name. But the question was, and I guess we talked about it a little bit, but I do want to get just opinion again, because I think only Brad really spoke about it, was do you guys see Tozawa as a singles wrestler or trying to form his own stable? And that's from @SandroTWIS. Whoever wants to start can go.
I would say the way I saw it going down, especially with the fighting between Kagetora and Tanizaki, was I thought that Tozawa was going to be kicked out and then no one was going to come to his aid except Kagetora was, kind of the same way years ago when Kagetora was going through stuff, Tozawa was his, like, life coach. I thought it was going to be the other way around and he was going to be kind of teaming with Kagetora for a while, eventually joining with Shingo to form, like, a different – because just at some point forming some new faction. But right now, it just seems – it feels like Dragon Gate just doesn't want to pull the trigger on, like, one thing. They're making small moves and just sort of exploring. Like, they'll have Shingo team, like, within groups and team with people like Maraha Sapa, and they'll team with even the veterans as well. And they don't want to, like, commit to new stables for some reason. But I agree. I think he'll end up with Shingo.
I don't know. I would like Tozawa to kind of after all these years removed from Tozawa, Juku lead a stable once again. I suppose he was, I guess he was kind of leader of Mad Blanky. It always seemed like it was more of an even split thing. He never really took a serious, a big leadership role. But I think it's time for him to step up into that position. But with a lot of the stables recently, it's been sort of two guys like Doi Yoshino. The Jimmy's kind of evenly spread. Mad Blanky again, I think like Hulk and Tozawa especially were kind of like the main two. Akatsuki was Yamato and Shingo. It's you kind of got a big two in all these groups, and it's, I don't know if that's, will the unit shuffle be a shuffle in the sense of just moving guys into different units and keeping the units the same kind of formulas, or will they be striving for just a completely different landscape with different types of units, different sort of makeups, all that kind of stuff? Yeah, it kind of all depends what route they want to go overall with the promotion as to where I think Tozawa would fit in best. But I think he'd be capable of holding any spot they want to give him, whether it be as a sole leader or if, I think it would work with him and Shingo because they're so different as well. I think they could both be in the same stable and it would make both guys look good. But I'm he's definitely one of the more interesting guys on the roster to look out for now is Tozawa. He's definitely one of the most over, that's for sure.
And Brad, you had said earlier that you think Shingo and Tozawa are going to come back together in some form. Is there anything you want to expound on aside from that?
I don't like the idea of it as much, just because I want to see Tozawa do his own thing that he creates on his own that he doesn't run with someone else. Tozawa Juku was a bit of a joke and became the Orion Owasa show. And Mad Blanky was always just a place for heels, and he was always sort of considered the leader with Hulk, despite the fact that he's always been much more over than Hulk. So I'd like to see him sit down on his own. I think there are enough mid-carders floating around that he could pick up a few and do his own thing, and that Shingo could do the same.
And well, speaking of that, and we'd both heard Justin, you talked about Kage Toru and Tozawa being together. And Brad earlier talked about maybe Tanizaki, how people have been saying that him and Tozawa could want to be together. Aren't Tanizaki and Kage Toru sort of on the outs in the Jimmy stable? What I'm reading?
Yeah, they keep having a team with one another, and they keep like screwing each other over. So yeah, they're definitely, somebody's on the outs for sure.
Is it like a case of like friendly fire, or is it purposeful sabotage?
It's just vile vitriol between them. They refuse to, like, Susumu made them shake hands, and then QQ stormed off and was, like, rubbing his hand off his trousers to, like, get the stain of Kagetora off him.
Ouch.
It's like how Justin does whenever he has to shake anyone's hand who's not white.
Wow. I'm not sure where that came from.
You didn't know that about him?
I did not.
Sir, I am a Southern gentleman. I wear gloves whenever
I... Yeah, they're both just like angry guys, you know, like we're never going to be Dreamgate challengers. We might as well hate each other.
I didn't know Justin's real name was Calvin Candy.
Is that a Django Unchained joke?
It is. Thank you for noticing.
I like the idea of like just having Brad, someone record podcasts, like comedy podcasts, and Brad records over it and just explains where the joke comes from.
Just ruining everything.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, that's from Ninja Turtles? Yeah, I watched that.
Or just at the end, I don't understand that reference. That's not a good one.
Yeah, that's Brad for you.
I'm right here, guys.
Oh, unfortunately. So
how many factions are we going to get this time now? We're going to get like 8 or 9?
Well, so the Windows disbanded too? Is that
right?
Yeah,
the Windows were a little bit absorbed into the Veterans, and then the Veterans slightly tweaked their name like they do. But it was everyone but Kotoka is now a Veteran.
Okay, so there wasn't a big hoopla about it. It was just sort of like it happened.
Like a medium hoopla.
They did a press conference. That was kind of, they were all in their suits. That was kind of new and different.
So what's the faction called now?
We are Team Veteran.
We are Team Veteran. All right.
It's being treated like a business partnership.
So how huge is that?
A lot
stable?
Of business terms.
It's big. There's a lot of dudes in there.
Huh.
Well, it's not that huge because Shima's not been around. and Kotoka didn't come over. So it was really just Canis, Shisa, and Arakan.
Right, but in addition to Mochi, Fuji, Dragon Kid, Gamma, Stalker, Ichikawa, and Hub.
Hub hasn't really been around for it, has he?
Oh, has
yeah,
he
I
not?
Think it seems a little less large because some guys are just part-timers.
I think if you saw everyone who could possibly be in it. Yeah, if you saw everyone who could possibly be in it all together, then yeah, it would be pretty big. But I don't think they've been really showcasing them all as a big group.
But, I mean, again, Shima is a member. He is really associated. He's a member in name only. I mean, it seems pretty clear to me at this point. I think that he's going to be associated with these young guys.
Yeah, same here. So we'll see where all that goes. So the question was, where do you think all the stables are heading?
I mean, like, how many and what are we looking at? I mean, I think Shima, I think like a week ago or so, Shima sent like a box to Kotoka or something along those lines.
No, it was after the Mochizuki Kotoka match, which we have to talk about. But after that match, Mochizuki got on the microphone and said, like, you fought hard, etc., etc., blah, blah, blah. And he said Shima had left him a gift, and he pulls this bag out from the corner, and it's just like a little bag, and he says it can be opened. I think it's being opened on the 23rd. The rumors going around are that it's a Shima-esque costume or a just kind of some kind of Shima-style gear, and they've done before in a tag match. Kotoka has performed under the name Shiba, which is his real name, and he changed his name to Kotoka because the reason being it sounded too like Shima, so he had to change his name. But they did the thing where he dressed up like Shima before, and he was Shiba all caps, and so the thought is that it might be that again, and he may have a permanent role as Shiba going forward, and he could then be involved in the millennials because Shima said that he put a picture up of him with the millennials and said, like, the old man in this picture cannot actually join the group or something like that, and so maybe Shiba Kotoka will be his surrogate in the millennials.
Yeah, maybe he's not actually like within the group, but he's. Because he's already done it, like, too. Magnum, I think at the DGUSA show as well.
Like Magnum Tokyo with Toss Hearts, or Magnum Tokyo with Do Fixer. That kind of a fatherly, overseen figure type role.
Yeah, and that makes total sense, given what, especially with that, again, the DGUSA show, they had Eita and Tomahawk were also involved in like a four-way. And I think it was Shima that took the fall, was it not? In DGUSA.
I can't really remember.
In which show?
I can't remember either. It's like the most recent, which shows how much we pay attention to DGUSA. But the most recent DGUSA show, there was like a four-way. I think it was Tozawa, Shima, Eita, and...
TT, right?
Who is now Tomahawk. And I think it was Shima who took the fall. I feel like it was Shima who took the fall.
I'll look into it as you keep talking.
Yeah, and I feel like that's going to be what his role is in this group, is that he is going to provide, you know, some measure of just being allied with him, helping get them over, and also just a way for them to still lose, but them the group themselves not have to suffer any direct losses. Or to kind of lessen that blow, maybe. So I feel like that's the route they're going with it. Him just joining up with the veterans would be kind of weird, I think, at this point.
I think he can do both. Like, there's really no reason he can't do both. Like, what's his name? Tokyo was part of both. You mentioned him before. He was a POS Heart and in Do Fixer. You already said that, didn't you?
That's true. He mentioned that they were that he kind of played that role, but the fact that he could do both, that's interesting.
Right. And I think he can do that. Also, there are two guys in the Millennials that are, for lack of a better word, fall guys. You've got the Lucho fella and UT, who are both going to be getting pinned quite a bit.
Right.
Yep. You're right, Justin. To Shima to take the fall in that four way.
Okay, so I feel like that's part of the role in maybe big matches or just in general, is that he can team with them and there can be a fall guy or just – or maybe just give them someone to eventually turn on to sort of better cement themselves as – instead of like maybe tweeners be like super heelish and stuff. And right. Or maybe they adopt a sexier leader like Yamato or something.
Or maybe,
like that.
Maybe TT will break Shima's orbital bone and then it can be like the circle of life.
Sure.
For those who don't know, I'm going to explain my own joke. Shima broke Magnum Tokyo's orbital bone and retired him for a period of time.
So that's Brad. Like his orbital bone.
He gave him the Venus and just cracked his face open.
Oh, man. Jeez.
That sounds
fun. That would not be fun.
No, it didn't look so bad when it happened, but apparently it was the end of like a lot of his vision or something. I don't know. I mean, breaking orbital bone sounds freaking terrible.
Speaking of which, I was sort of hoping that Yamato would debut a new version of the Galleria and call it like the Egoist Galleria, and it's basically just like his old finisher, the Viagra Driver, whatever he called it, like that pump handle version.
Just because
I was hoping
he'd
whip that out. Yes, literally just because he's sexy now. And I feel like he needs some kind of something to kind of freshen up. I know his moveset so just off the top of my head so easily now. There's not a whole lot new to it.
All right, then. Alan, you said you really want to talk about Mochizuki versus Kotoka.
Oh, it was awesome. It was supposed to be Kotoka versus Dragon Kid, and Kid got injured. I don't know how that match would have been if it happened. It seems like a strange pairing for a singles match, but they said it would be a mystery partner, and Mochi's music hit, and the crowd erupted, and did I say mystery partner? I meant mystery opponent, but Mochi came out, and the crowd went crazy, and they had this match. It was absolutely fantastic. Kotoka is so ready to be the Akira Tozawa come to the US and be crazy over in PWG. Like, if he got that opportunity that Tozawa got 2 years ago, I think he'd be able to have similar results. He's just so much charisma, so much fire. He's great. And he was fantastic in this match. Mochi was just killing him. Some of the slaps and kicks, it's just, oh, it was brutal. But Kotoka fired back at all the right points, and just a really well-constructed, well-fought 9-10 minute match. And, I'd go out of my way to watch that. Anyone, it's on Daily Motion. That match and the main event, the unit at Dissolve match, Akatsuki and Mad Blanky, was just all action, really, really great stuff. Those two matches made that cork. And I wasn't a huge fan of Doi and Yoshino. It's just something about it didn't click for me. The rest of the card was kind of just pretty decent. There wasn't too many other matches on it. Main event got a lot of time, but it was really good. So, I really liked that show. And I think Kotoka, like Tozawa, is one of the real ones to watch right now in Dragon Gate.
Yeah, I think him and what's his name coming back? T-Hawk now. I think he was on such a roll when he got going that it'll be interesting to see what happens when he comes back, how quickly he gets over, how they use him, and that kind of thing. Because when he started really putting on great performances and great matches, I really got a sense of a guy that was going to be their future.
How do you see him versus coming back in 2007, Shingo Takagi? Do you think he has a chance to outperform Shingo when he came back?
No, because I think Shingo came back as a boss. I mean, he came back and was just in control. There was that heated situation. For those that don't know, we knew that there were betraying members on either side, or one side had a betraying member of the other in Typhoon and Muscle Outlaws, I think is what it was. And it turned out they both had betraying members. It was Cyber Kong and BB Hulk. And then Shingo came out and was a leader of a new faction with Yamato and I think eventually Jack Evans and a couple other people. New Hazard. And that was, I mean, that was a big deal. He came back and he was in the driver's seat immediately, where I think, unfortunately, T-Hawk's going to be kind of just another element in a larger movement. Whereas I think he can still get over just as well, if not better, but I don't know if he'll be the focus point. It seems like that Eita is going to be the guy that they're, you know, putting their eggs, you know, that's the basket they're putting their eggs in. It sounds silly to judge things based on who's standing front and center in a YouTube video, but it's always Eita. So that's...
But you know what? It doesn't necessarily matter. When Shingo came back, they did the new Hazard bit, and it was some of the best storytelling and most interesting turns and faction shifts and matches that had happened ever in Dragon Gate, even still to now. And it got Shingo over like crazy. It got Hulk over like crazy. Even got Cyber Kong over as a beast. They can get all three of those guys over if they really play their cards right, and all three of those guys really bring a lot to the table. So I mean, and I think TT is better than Eita. Eita's good, but Eita's, I don't know. I'm curious to see him back in Japan, and I'm curious to see if he can get through a whole match without hurting himself and then complain on Facebook about, why does my head hurt? Why do you think your head hurts?
You went off on him the other day.
I didn't go off on him. I was just like, do you think it might have something? I don't even know if he can read what I said. Like, do you think it might have something to do with the fact that you fall on your head all the time?
TT is definitely the most polished guy in the group. Well, I haven't seen two of them yet, but I assume they're not near as polished as TT is, because he's been around since, what, 2010, and he's a hell of a wrestler. He's the biggest, he's the most polished, he's had the best matches, so I'm more confident in him than any of the others. Eita has a ton of potential, and he's got the charisma, so I hope Eita can... I just can't, like, it seems strange saying this when talking, doing a podcast on a promotion you love that has got so many smaller guys in it, but Ada's size, just to me, it's, I can never see him being like a top guy. He's so small. And
yeah, but do you remember how small Yamato was when he was, not when he debuted, because he was already roiding or working out real hard, but like when he was still like a ring attendant young boy kind of thing, he was really small too.
The earliest Yamato I remember is when he was like, remember when he appeared on like those Orohei shows? He wrestled Claudio at that WrestleMania weekend. Like he's taller and he's got a bigger frame than Eita. So
there are even older, there are matches from like when Dragon Gate first became Dragon Gate, maybe a few in 2005, not necessarily 2004, where they showed Yamato and he was almost completely unrecognizable because his hair is really short. Yeah, he's tiny. He might be a little, he's probably a little taller than Eita, but I think whereas like a guy like UT is never going to get over in a big way, the same way that like as fun as Kotoka is to watch, they're just never going to push him to the tippy top of the company. You know, they're both going to feel like a Dragon Kid kind of role.
I think Katoka's bigger than Eita, isn't he?
I don't know. He's not really bigger than anyone except for UT.
Eita needs to get that mohawk shot up as high as possible. I think that's the only solution.
I think Eita needs a different haircut entirely.
But yeah, he should probably stop cutting and dyeing his own hair, which is clearly what he's doing.
You know, there's a lot of. It doesn't seem like the guys that he was hanging out with in Mexico are that concerned with their appearance, or maybe they're concerned with their appearance and their you know values for appearance are just different than mine, and that's fine.
So now we're expecting that conversation
let that
to go.
Just sit there and simmer. Yeah, we'll let that. That'll just.
Fashion tips. It's the E Network here.
And I agree about the talent level though, in terms of where everyone's at now. I actually do see. I feel like Eita could be, could get there to the top. I think Dragon Gate's the one promotion that, top promotion that can, like anybody can be. I don't think there's restrictions really on guys that can get over. I'm not saying he's going to hold the Dream Gate, but that doesn't mean that he can't. You know, that he can't matter and be relevant. I mean, they've actually always done a really good job of putting emphasis on mid-card feuds. They don't normally just let someone go a long period of time without doing something, which is, again, one of the reasons I love the company, is that whenever you think someone hasn't done something in a while, that's usually the time that something kicks in. Or, you know, you think like Horiguchi is a good example. Every once in a while, I feel like every other year he does something or has like a month run. Kanda is that way too, where he just does something and is just inexplicably awesome for like a month or two leading up to a big title match. And
Kanda
gives
is
him,
awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, where they place emphasis on him, and they highlight and they give him individual victories and show him, you know, tossing around Mochizuki with like crazy Germans and dragon suplexes and all sorts of stuff, and just, you know, winning a lot, you know, being very successful in that way. I think Dragon Gate does a good job of kind of spreading that around. A good case is for this year is the name I always mispronounce, Shachioko Boy. Yes.
He's been doing nothing for 8 years, nine
right.
years.
I mean, he hadn't done literally anything, and I got thinking, what is the point of this guy? They've never given him anything to do. And he had something to do for the first time this year, maybe ever. Outside of just being in that great period of time for the Triangle Gate, that like Tomonaga's legacy will be just that match and that match alone.
I think the Sachioko, Rich Swann, Naruki Doi team High Tension is my favorite Triangle Gate team since Pac, Yoshino and Hulk that was the awesome Triangle Gate team in 2009.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's they're my favorite since then.
That was the best World War because I think wasn't Doi Dreamgate champion back then?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, that was great.
That's something I think that they really need to focus on in the future, is not necessarily the factions and things like that, but just getting more credible teams and more credible challengers to their championships. Because
sometimes, you know, it doesn't take much. Like, there's this Twin Gate title defense coming up, Doi and Ricochet against Kness and Dragon Kid. Kness and Dragon Kid aren't credible as a team together, but there's so much history there, and they're both, like, dragon guys. I'm super freaking pumped for it.
Yeah, so am I, actually. It's funny we're talking about it. And they did kind of build them up, having that, in Infinity coming up, had them go over, had to win a big match, I forget who they faced, to kind of set it up and legitimize it. But, that's a perfect example. I feel like, especially with the Triangle Gate, is the last few years, there had been a good focus. There's a lot of teams that you sort of look at and count on to have great matches and felt like dominant teams, like Pac with Hulk and Yoshino, and then there was Shima and Ricochet and Dragon Kid, and you had the Doi Darts team as well, that era. There was a lot of great stuff with the Triangle Gate kind of all near with each other, and then it just, with these new units, it's just random. It's like Jimmy's teams and just sort of random challengers, and just, I don't know if just less thoughts put in or if there's just less heat on them or less emphasis, but I'd like to see it go back to being more of a focal point.
Well, speaking of credible championship challengers, the next big show coming up, I guess, is this Friday at Korakuen Hall, where Shingo makes his first defense of the Dreamgate title against Yamato, naturally. So what do you think, folks? Is this a one-and-done for Shingo?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess it's hard for me to envision a completely heel Dragon Gate champion because we almost never get them. And, oh, man, it's so hard to say because I kind of think it's going to happen. But maybe it's just wishful thinking because I really dig Yamato right now. I'm going to say Shingo squeaks out a victory here.
Yeah, I'm going the same. Again, I can't envision the reign ending this quickly. Maybe it's a big swerve, or not swerve, but like just something to shake things up and do something they don't usually do, which normally I'm a fan of something like that happening. But I'd be shocked if this was a case of that. So I think Shingo retains, and Yamato does something to get his heat back.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's why I think Shingo's going to win, because Yamato can get his heat back. There are ways to do that. If Shingo loses here, I think it's just gone, right? That guy is – he goes back with Kong and becomes the least interesting tag team in Dragon Gate history because there's just nothing left. That's why I think he has to win. I think if he loses, there's no place to go. There's no one to build him back up. So I'm going to go with Shingo.
Wow, that's kind of surprising. I don't know if I necessarily think it's one and done, but I kind of suspected somebody would have said it was going to be that way.
I feel like most of us feel like Yamato would be – it would be awesome if Yamato was champion, but Shingo can't afford to lose. Well, not yet.
Yeah, that's
if this
fair.
Was two or three matches from now, if this was – there were a few defenses in here, I would absolutely feel that as a possibility, but – the emphasis is going to be on the millennials when they show up, so having a heel champion at the same time, while that sounds awesome, doesn't sound like something Dragon Gate – that's a Dragon Gate dream, not a Dragon Gate delivery. So
yeah, I see Shingo's reign this time going like his reign last time. I think he'll make it to Final Gate, and then he'll lose it.
To who?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. But I think we've run out of time.
I was going to say, we've gone a little over an hour here, and I just want to see if there's anything else people want to discuss before we closed up shop.
I can't think of anything. We've covered a lot of bases here. No Summer Tag League is kind of a big story.
Yeah, I'm a little sad about that.
Maybe we'll get a fall tag league?
I figured the reason is, it makes sense to me anyway, is that just there's so much kind of shuffle with the units at the moment, and a lot of things are in flux. A lot of things are in flux, exactly. Thank you, Brad. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are in flux, a lot of moving parts, so it seems like not a good time to kind of do that type thing where you have to have all these settled pairings or trios, and maybe 3 months from now we have the unit shuffles, everything set into place, and then they'll do a summer tag league. Maybe a December tag league.
An autumn tag league, perhaps.
I kind of think they're just going to wait till next year.
See, I think it would have been the perfect time to do it because they did the turn. So Tozawa can team with anyone. Shingo can team with anyone in the tournament. You already have a fresh team with Dragon Kid and Kness that would have been in the tournament. I think it would have been a great time, even if it was just like a two-event thing, to not keep that going is crazy. So I hope they do. Just do something a month from now and just call it the Summer Adventure Tag League. Otherwise, you've squashed something that I always thought was pretty cool. Outside of last year, I thought every tournament had some really awesome moments. So I was gutted that it didn't show up here.
Hey, you know what I wanted to discuss real quick? Do any of you guys play Candy Crush?
No.
Oh, never mind. I don't want to talk about it. I don't play it either.
Sweet, show's over. Before we get out of here, we're going to do some plugs. So, Brad, plug stuff.
Check out Open the Garoon Gate. It's I'm sick right now, so why not watch some Infinity? I think after this I'm going to watch an episode and a half.
Yeah, buddy.
So I'll at least get through episode 300. So check that out. If you're hungry, check out burgerweekly.com. And if you're just in the mood to watch something weird, hit up Instagram and check out the Grapefruit Chronicles because that's fun for everyone. But most importantly, OpenTheGaroonGate.com for all your Dragon Gate Infinity review needs.
Justin.
I have a Twitter. It's my name, Justin J. Houston.
Alan.
Alan4L on Twitter, WrestlingObserver.com, Dr. Heat Presents Show. But this week I'll plug the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare because myself and Joe Gagne appeared on that for a combined Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare and Alan and Joe Little Pro Dream. It was a jam-packed show. The last word, the final word on the G1, 2013 G1, which everyone was raving about, and rightly so. And, I'll have more shows coming soon. Oh, and Fighting Spirit Magazine and Figure 4 Weekly, which I have written big stories on the G1 for both of those.
Isn't Joe Gagne the video game guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, long before he did the video game stuff, though, he did other things.
Very cool.
Yeah, so there's all that.
Joe versus the World, best podcast ever.
Are you, speaking of podcasts, are you having Excalibur back on to talk Bola?
No, I think that was probably the one Excalibur appearance for the next while.
That's a shame.
Maybe if he's interested, we might do another one. But I don't know. I think we'll be very similar very soon after the last podcast we did. So it might be a bit of overkill of the same kind of talk.
Fair enough. Well, you can follow me on. Go ahead, Alan.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I think I was done.
Okay, perfect. You can follow me on Twitter at @kford13. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at @dgcoolkidstable. You can follow the host website at PW Ponderings. We'll have links to everything in the show notes at pwponderings.com. You could also go on iTunes to get all of our podcasts, including this one and my fan-to-fan podcast. So go ahead and listen to all those, leave some reviews, and thanks for listening. And thanks, all of you guys, for joining me.
No problem.
Thanks, Kev.
You're welcome.
Great. All right. Until next time, folks.
You got to say thanks for sitting at the cool kids table. Oh,